Over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about our front lines. And out in the link, there's a map of the Triangle area, and I know people have been putting the red pins onto it to mark where your front line is, the place where God has put you that you can influence others, the place that God has set you into for you to live out your Christian life. And it's lovely to stand and look at that map and just see that. And if you haven't put a red pin on it yet, I would encourage you to do it. Just gives us a visual of where we are during the rest of the week, the way that God has scattered us. But God has placed us where we are, not by accident, but to fulfill His purposes. So we've talked a little bit about all the difference in the world, the fact that we are placed where we are so that there we can make a difference for Jesus. We've talked about wherever we are. You don't have to be put in somewhere that looks holy, that looks special, that looks extraordinary. God has placed you in those ordinary places to live for Him, to honor Him. Whatever we do, God has given you gifts and abilities so that you can use those for His glory and to encourage people around you. And whoever you are, and last week we just looked at what it was to be a child of God, because that's your primary identity. Yes, we all have other identities, do other things, but the very root, we are children of the living God through faith in Jesus. So our front lines are important. Romans 12 is a passage that I love. The first couple of verses in it are so important. And I want to read just the first verse of that from the Message, which is a paraphrase, if you like, of the Bible. And it simply says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Doesn't have to be extraordinary. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. So it's not just about even a generous gift in the offering. It's about placing all that you are, all that you have, all that God has entrusted to you as an offering before God. And I love this paraphrase because it goes back to not being extraordinary, not being superhuman. It's just everyday and ordinary. Those are the things that we give to God. Those are the places that we live out our Christian lives. But it's not always easy to do. And you don't need me to tell you that. You know, it's not always easy to live out your Christian life, because there are lots of pressures. You're with people who think in different ways, have a different view of the world around them, hold different values, and our tendency is to shrink back. But there we're called to live for Jesus. It's not always easy. We were made to be dependent. There's something about us that likes to be independent. But we were made to be dependent upon God and dependent upon each other. And those two truths run right through the Bible. This is the God in whom we live and move and have our being. We are dependent upon God, but we're also dependent upon each other. All the way through the Bible, we have this picture of God's people together. We need each other. we're dependent upon each other. And so, in those difficult times on our front lines, we really do need each other. Hebrews 10, Patty read for us from Hebrews 10 a few minutes ago. That chapter begins by reminding us of all that Jesus has done for us. The chapter begins by looking at the old system in the temple where the priest was continually offering sacrifice act after sacrifice. There was never an end to it. Those sacrifices were made continually. They just kept going. The priest never got to the end of that work. You never knew that sins had been forgiven. You never knew that enough had been done. And so on and on it went. And the writer to the Hebrews says at the beginning of this chapter 10, Jesus has done it once and for all. Once and for all. And so we're reminded of what Jesus has done for us. We are made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ once and for all. In the old temple, there was that holy of holies, that special place right in the very center of the temple, and only once a year did the high priest go into that place because God was supposed to dwell there, to live there. And again, the writer to the Hebrews says, when Jesus died, that curtain was torn from top to bottom, so there's now access into the Holy of Holies. Jesus has opened the way. Jesus gives us access to our Heavenly Father. He is the new and living way. Jesus has changed everything. No longer do those sacrifices need to be continually made, continually wondering if it's enough. Jesus has done it. No longer do we have to try and find our own way through this life into God's presence. Jesus has done it. He's the new and living way. And so we're called to trust and to follow Jesus. And that's at the heart of what Hebrews 10 is about. But then the writer goes on to say, well, because of all that, there are things that we need to do. You may have noticed today it's getting a bit more like autumn, isn't it? A wee bit cooler, bit windier, leaves coming down, all those things. The temperature is starting to drop. And, well, I really don't like the temperature dropping, but there are some benefits. And one is this. When the temperature remains to drop a bit, Heather doesn't serve me as many salads at home. So she's gone out to jam. So lettuce tends to disappear. I love lettuce, but not with every meal. Heather serves lettuce all the time. It's good for me, and I know it's good for me. But as we read through this chapter, chapter 10, it is full of lettuce. So what happens because of all that Jesus has done? Well, the writer to the Hebrews says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. It means there's no division in our heart. There's no divided loyalty. We draw near to God with that complete heart. I remember years ago living in Kenya, and I bought a little soapstone chess set, hand carved, a lovely thing. But it wasn't until I got it back home I realized that the Black King was actually broken and had been put back together again with wax and carefully put back together, and I hadn't noticed it before. And I remember my dad was alive at that stage, and I remember showing it to him and said, what do you think? And he said, well, you don't know your Latin much, do you? What's got to do with Latin? And he said, sincere. Sine sera means without wax. Because it used to be clay pots were made, and if there was a crack in them, the crack was fixed with wax. But if your pot was complete and whole and undivided, it was sine sera, without wax. Where do you get Latin lessons for free? Come on. So when the writer to the Hebrews says, with a sincere heart, there's no division, there's no cracks. It's just complete, undivided loyalty to God, with full assurance of our faith. Again, remembering what Jesus has done, this new high priest, this great priest, once and for all sacrifice, creating this new and living way. That's where our faith is, full assurance of our faith. Hearts cleansed from a guilty conscience. Freedom from that guilt which would hold us down and hold us back because of Jesus. So the writer to the Hebrews says, because of all this, let's draw near to God. It's interesting. He doesn't say, I want you, singular, to draw near to God. He's talking to God's people and saying, let us draw near to God because of what Jesus has done. Here's another one. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. This idea of unswervingly means without doubt, without hesitation. When the writer to the Hebrews was writing, God's people were under intense pressure from society around them. They were under pressure to give up and to back down and to stop all that they were doing. And the writer says, hold unswervingly to the hope you profess. Things haven't changed that much. There are things happening around us that would make us think and just back off. So when legislation comes in which will change the rules on abortion, on marriage, we're under pressure. Do we step back? Or do we, with grace, say, no, hold on, this is what we believe. And hold unswervingly to the hope we profess in Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and to good deeds. It's interesting. Spur is not a gentle word. Spur sort of means provoke or incite. Push each other on to love and to good deeds. Help each other to live out our lives where God has placed us. Not living our lives thinking, you know what, if I lived somewhere else, if I worked somewhere else, if I was with different people, I could do this frontline thing. No, God has placed you where you are, with the people you're surrounded with. And we need to spur one another on in those situations to love and good deeds. Sometimes there are phrases and terms that appear in our vocabulary, and when you sit and think about them, they're quite tragic. One of them is compassion fatigue. We are just so overwhelmed with need around us that we just run out of compassion. That's what was happening here. These folks were just overwhelmed with the need to love people that were difficult to love, with the need to do good deeds when it was difficult to do those good deeds. And so the writer says, let's spur one another on. Let's not just encourage each other, let's provoke each other to love and good deeds. That may be just a wee note. It is lovely, and you all know this, lovely to just to get a wee card or a wee note or a post-it that's stuck somewhere that just encourages you, or a text or a Bible verse, whatever it is that just encourages you. It's just the right thing for you at that time and that place, and we're encouraging each other. We're spurring each other on. Don't allow each other to give up. I know many of you have been watching the rugby, the World Cup. Some really good matches, some not so good. But one of the things that you notice is the work of the captain. The captain who is always scurrying about, not just playing the game, but encouraging, spurring those players on. Don't give up. And it's amazing watching games where teams are losing considerably and they're still playing to their utmost. Never giving up. And that captain is whispering in their ears. That captain is pushing them forward. That captain is doing all that he can so that no one gives up. There's a picture for us. Because again, it's not addressed to just one person. It's addressed to us. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us encourage one another. It would be easy. And when we talk about meeting together, it's not just what we do here on a Sunday morning. This is important, but it's not just about this. It's those other times. Tomorrow evening, our women's group, the Ballywillan Ladies Together, will meet. It's a time when those ladies can come together and encourage each other, support each other. And if you hadn't planned to be there, I really encourage you to come along, be part of that. Because it's a way for the women of our congregation to encourage each other. There's a men's fellowship when we can come together and again encourage each other. There's tea and coffee after our services, which is not just time to catch up in the chat, it's also a time, and I know many of you have conversations where you're encouraged. There are home groups, there are coffee mornings, there are lunches, there's BBGB, MTT, Bowls, Craft Club. There's a whole raft of things which are not just programs to fill up your diary. They're opportunities to come together, encourage each other in our faith. Let's not give up meeting together. It may just be two or three people who meet over a cuppa and to pray for each other, to encourage each other. You walk along a beach, not sandy beaches like we have here, but a beach of pebbles. Pebbles fascinate me, just the way they're rounded and smoothed. And the interesting thing is that one pebble on a beach doesn't really come like that. Pebbles on the beach become smooth and rounded because they interact with each other. And the pebble you see is the result of all those years of simply rubbing against other pebbles and being influenced by them and being smoothed and being changed. There's a way in which we are like those pebbles on the beach. There is no doubt that you will have an influence on the people around you, one way or another. Will it be to spur them on to love and good deeds? Will it be to encourage them and build them up? Or will your influence be something totally different? But you will have an influence on the people around you. Over these last few weeks, there have been bits and pieces to pick up on the way out of church. This morning, these little glass beads. I've just realized when we put them out, they look like throat lozenges. If you've got a sore throat, do not suck. Well, you can suck one of these, don't swallow it. Please be careful with them. It's a smooth thing. And as you feel it, you can think of a pebble that has been influenced by all those things. That's where God has placed you, to be a pebble. To be a red dot in the sea of gray. The UK estimate is that sort of 6 out of every 100 people will be in church this morning. And that first little diagram, you could see them all huddled up in a corner in church. And if we were to stay that way, we would have little influence on the rest of society. But look at the diagram on the right. Same 6 red dots scattered in that sea of red. Now you're in a place of influence. Now you're in a place where you can make a difference. Take your red dot with you. Pick one up out here or on the coffee bar afterwards. In your pocket, your purse, whatever. Somewhere where you can see it, somewhere where you can feel it, because it's been smoothed off like a pebble on the beach, encouraged by others, built up by others. So this morning, 2 things. Who encourages you? Who is it that you meet with during the week who's a real encourager? We are blessed with people here who do that. Folks who just come alongside and encourage. Take time to say thank you to the people who encourage you. But also, take time to ask, who is it you can encourage this week? Who is it that you can spur on to love and good deeds? Who is it that needs you just to help them to hold on? May God give each of us the grace not just to be thankful for encouragement, but the grace also to be encouragers. Watch a short video clip.
Gathered,
welcomed,
celebrated,
restored,
gathered together,
encouraged,
supported,
loved,
reminded who God is,
hearts awed by His majesty,
eyes seeing fresh,
the wonder of grace,
thankful for His awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am.
And all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
And sing together a lovely hymn that brings us back to this Jesus who is